Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, UNR President Mark Johnson. Paulinos and I will talk with him. Plus on the Power Pundit panel today, Michael Hackett, Randy Thompson, and Joe Gilb. It's all coming up next on the all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
This segment was brought to you by Amplify Relations, leading Nevada in public relations, government affairs, and advertising.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
As a Nevada business owner, you know how important your workers' comp, accidents, and premiums are to your bottom line. Pro Group provides the leading workers' comp programs in the state. So when we're on your team, your hard-earned dollars stay right here in Nevada. With us, your premiums are an investment in your business. We provide long-term security and stability for your company. Pro Group prides itself on being a Nevada business that does business in Nevada. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Through our history, the trucking industry has changed a lot. Today's environmentally compliant trucks are cleaner than ever. And through safety initiatives and technology, we've reduced the number of truck-related fatalities by 73%. This is due to the dedication of the hardworking men and women in the trucking industry, who safely deliver 69% of our nation's freight and 94% of Nevada's. We thank you, because trucks move America forward.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always delighted to welcome back to the program the president of the University of Nevada, Reno, Mark Johnson. Thank you for being here as always, sir.
Thank you for having me.
Congratulations on your contract extension. So you're going to be with us at least through 2018. And in my opinion, well-deserved, sir.
Well, thank you very much. We really want to maintain this momentum we have.
All right. So let's get to business here.
Okay.
So something that the university has been trying on and off and the downtown has been trying on and off for years is to connect the two. And it has not happened until now, when we're really starting to see momentum towards bringing the university and its tens of thousands of students and employees to actually interact with the downtown. Can you share a little of that plan with us?
Certainly. We've been working with the city of Reno, with the Regional Transportation Commission, to formulate a new master plan for the campus. The former plan had us going way east of the campus and buying properties and developing in an eastward direction. Working with the city and RTC, it became very apparent that the way the city wants to go and the way the university wants to go is south from the university, so that we're connecting the community on the south with the university on the north and actually blend them.
All right, so obviously that would bring tremendous business to the downtown area. There is obviously very good development in the main part of downtown and along the river, but the areas that go a little bit north of that, not so nice. So are you working at this point with developers, or is the university going to do this itself in terms of developing that area into something that will be suitable and acceptable to the student population?
We're very early in that planning, and it's really the city that will deal with the properties south of I-80. And the university will be dealing with the properties north of I-80, but we're doing it in concert with one another so that they blend very well. We've identified a university district that goes from about 9th Street, right on the southern edge of the campus, all the way down to about 4th Street. And that will be, we envision a commercial, business, and residential park in there. That's going to be really high-end development and will bring many, many people with good, strong, disposable incomes into that community.
And what do you see in terms of rooms for the students? Because you've been building a lot of student housing over the last few years. Do you see any takeover of any properties in the downtown Reno area in terms of student housing?
We don't see takeover of properties for student housing managed by the university. That certainly could happen from a private investor standpoint. We want to have really strong control of our freshman housing, so we have dormitories, one under construction now over on Sierra, and we have two more residence halls planned for freshmen to open in 2017 and 2019. For upper-class housing, we may develop some of that between I-80 and the campus, and we would encourage private investors to get involved in some student housing for upperclassmen in the university district south of the highway. We think, though, that with commercial and business establishments coming in to support this advanced manufacturing effort of this community, there will be great opportunities for housing for new professionals and students who are actively involved as interns in these businesses.
So you're looking at kind of a gentrification effort to maybe make the university, the area surrounding it, a little safer. And I want to talk about campus safety, because that is a big priority. I look at the crime statistics on campus, and they seem very low, especially in your violent crime, your robbery, your assaults. You know, I think alcohol is your highest one. How is the connection with the university and the city in the area where the university currently is, the area surrounding that? Because that's where it seems to get a little dicey.
At times it does, and we've had some recent incidents that are very unfortunate, dealing with people who are not part of the campus, but they come nearby on campus. We have a very strong relationship between the police force of the University of Nevada, Reno, and the Reno Police Department. So they work very closely together to provide safety and to provide response when an incident occurs.
Let's talk about what we've heard about, nationally, University of Virginia. You know, we talk about rape on campus, and you hear varying statistics that if you're a woman, you're more likely to be raped in a college campus than almost anywhere else. There's been some concern over the validity of the story that came out of the University of Virginia and the Rolling Stone. If you had that incident happen in the University of Nevada, would you have handled it in the same way they did at the University of Virginia?
We think if there's an actual sexual assault case, it needs to be turned over to the police department, because that is a crime.
And that's not campus police. That would be...
Well, campus police can handle it. The Reno police can handle it. Either one has the authority to handle it. But a crime of the nature of sexual assault is just a crime. It's not a counseling issue. It's a crime. And it has to be addressed. In the case of blaming everyone for an incident, I think that
and
goes...
And in the University of Virginia, they shut down the entire Greek system because of this incident and the coverage that Rolling Stone gave it.
Yes, I understand that happened. I don't think we want to overreact. We want to pinpoint the real issues of crime rather than blaming an entire Greek system for an incident.
All right, let's take a break. More with Mark Johnson when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends. Play the hottest slots and video games. Join the Conductors Club and earn comps and free play. Meet your friends at Sully Sports Bar and feast on juicy burgers, wings, big beers, and all your favorite cocktails. Download the Tamarack Junction mobile app for exclusive food and gaming offers right from your phone. the Tamarack Junction, where friends meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
From your house to the White House, the folks at D&D Roofing can get it fixed with their eyes closed.
Closed captioning of Nevada newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward. And now, back to Nevada newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada newsmakers, we continue our conversation with UNR President Mark Johnson. So, you know, we're seeing a tremendous amount of economic development occurring across the state, but in particular in northern Nevada for your purposes. And the Tesla deal, obviously a huge deal. But there was a lot of organic growth going on in the community already. Did you anticipate this, or are you dealing with it now as it occurs? How is this going to affect the university?
We have been anticipating quite a bit of this growth coming along here. We were actively involved in getting the Federal Aviation Administration designation for drone testing here, for example, and we recognized the importance of the university in supporting that, so we created a minor in the engineering school in drone technology, and companies have been coming in, working with our engineers, and the university is part of the attraction for these advanced manufacturing companies. So then Tesla comes as well. There are quite a number of software companies coming into the area. So we were anticipating this. We weren't anticipating a Tesla, but we're anticipating that this community, from everything that's been said recently, is moving to an advanced manufacturing place rather than where it was before. And that comes as a matter of a great amount of cooperation across the community with the cities, this county, and Edon.
How do the community colleges play into that? Because the university, you have the folks that are there who are going to be designing the products that are made or helping design process, making that work. Community colleges seems like that's where you're going to have more of your line workers. Are you coordinating with those folks, you know, maybe some of the middle management folks who would be coming out of a community college?
Yeah, we certainly are. And that's the advantage of having the community colleges and the universities in the same educational system. So we have a workforce development person coming on board now, Frank Woodbeck, who was in state government before. So we are coordinating technical training because our community colleges provide technical training. We have mid-management training in the community colleges all the way to upper management and technical training like engineers and graduate degrees at the universities. So our Nevada system of higher education is well structured to organize the continuum of workforce development.
Now, I was talking to John Gwaltney last night, former president of Truckee Meadows Community College, who said, we need to split off the community colleges from the higher ed system. They need to have their own system, be governed under the Board of Regents. We need to have ours. He said that they want to do a study to look at what is the cost for the students who are at the community college matriculating to the university. So it seems like there may be a disconnect from some of the folks at the community college.
Well, we just had an interim study looking at the structure of community colleges versus universities in the Nevada system of higher education, and the determination was made that we should keep the system together. So I think that question has already been addressed. We do so much with community colleges, such as every one of our degrees has an articulation agreement with the community colleges so that the community college advisors can advise the students for their first 2 years of taking classes prior to moving over to the university.
So you don't have redundant courses?
We don't have to have redundant courses unless the students choose to take them. So keeping the system together, we have great coordination and great communication between universities and community colleges.
Okay, so with, you know, the school was already growing and quite dramatically. With all these other entities coming on board now, what do you see in terms of student population growth?
We think student population growth is going to continue to grow for several factors. It's not just new freshmen coming into the school, but our retention rates from freshman to sophomore retention rates are increasing. So we have more sophomores and juniors than we've had in the past. And our recent figures show that that students are shortening their amount of time to graduation. We have many more students interested in four-year degrees so that they can move in here, get educated, and get on with their careers.
And what about the med school situation? We only have about a minute and a half here. But is this going smoothly at this point in time with conversations between UNR and UNLV?
It's going very smoothly. We have a coordinating committee that's statewide. We have business representatives as well as school representatives. We've all agreed that the way to go is to really capitalize on this new agreement between Renown and the School of Medicine to really develop out a full four-year medical school program here in Reno.
And that's for residencies, because if people do their residencies in the community, they're likely to stay in that community.
That's correct. But the School of Medicine also has a new agreement with Mountain View Hospital in Las Vegas, and they're planning up to 250 new residencies down there. So the School of Medicine is really branching out statewide in graduate medical education, and at the same time, we will enhance capacity for undergraduate medical education by starting a new medical school at UNLV.
How many residencies does that mean in Northern Nevada?
I don't know the numbers, but we will be growing in residencies here as well.
I believe the number is around 150 is the number I saw. Okay. So that's tremendous, about 400 new doctors per year. That would be fantastic. Johnson, right. Very exciting times. Come back soon.
Thank you very much.
We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
This segment was brought to you by Amplify Relations, leading Nevada in public relations, government affairs, and advertising.
When it comes to delivering energy, a lot happens behind the scenes. NV Energy generates thousands of megawatts of energy and moves it along miles and miles of transmission and distribution lines to Nevada homes and businesses. So when you flip a switch or push a button, there are no surprises.
There is a lot at stake when you've been seriously injured.
But what happens next is critical. That's why you need expert legal representation.
Let us help you get back on track and fight for the compensation you deserve.
Galloway and Jensen, we fight for you.
Tell me more about the Charter Spectrum Triple Play.
You mean the best TV, internet, and voice?
Charter Spectrum Triple Play.
TV.
200 free in sweet HD. 10,000 on demand.
Instantly.
I'm not just the operator. Dish to dish, I'm your liberator.
Charter Spectrum TV. Just $29.99. Call
1-844-499-999.
Charter Spectrum high speed means no slowdown. 60 megs. I like the way that sounds.
Say goodbye to DSL. Say hello to fast as.
Charter Spectrum Internet, just $29.99. Call
1-844-499-999. Charter Spectrum Voice, unlimited talk.
Zero fees and features that rock.
Crystal clear connection, say hi.
Charter Raiders, standing by. Charter Spectrum Voice, just $29.99. Call
1-844-499-999.
Yeah.
1-844-499-999. There is a lot at stake when you've been seriously injured.
But what happens next is critical. That's why you need expert legal representation.
We've worked for the insurance companies, and we will fight for every dollar you deserve.
Galloway and Jensen, we fight for you.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
Back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great PowerPundit panel. As always, Joe Gild is here, the attorney, Michael Hackett with Law Risk Consulting, and Randy Thompson, our political analyst. So, The Economic Forum comes out and says that we're going to be about $162 million short of budget by July. Actually, there was a governor talking to that, but you know, both coming out of the same place. Your thoughts on this and where we're heading with all of this? Is this really a big setup for a major tax increase in the next session?
Well,
does it sound like 2002.
Leading into 2003. I don't think there's any grand design. I don't think it's a big setup. The numbers are the numbers, and so we have $160 million that has to be found. I don't think it's any secret that the governor and other leaders, legislative leaders, have been talking about all of the options that are possible. The governor has said he wants to fund education. The business community has said they'll go along with that as long as there's some conditions placed on some of the expenditures and there's a reasonable broad-based tax. So what are the taxes? That's the question. What are they going to look at? Michael knows all of those.
So let's pivot to Michael.
Where is Michael?
The other Michael. Yeah.
I agree with a lot of what Joe said. I don't think this was this prompted any grand setup in terms of the discussion for taxes. I think that has been something that's been considered all along. I think that was accelerated by the Tesla deal as well, recognizing the state's need to improve its infrastructure, whether it's education, whether it's other types of infrastructure. And I think from the governor's perspective, and I think this is probably considered consistent too with, I think, with the Senate leadership as well. They recognize this need, and I think everything is going to be on the table, from looking at the 200 and some odd exemptions we have in our tax laws to different proposals such as a sales tax on professional services and perhaps a lowering of the overall sales tax. So I think everything is going to be on the table.
You know, the business, the business activity tax and the business license fee are two that people forget about. Business activities tax, you know, is a tax on employment, and everybody thought that during the last recession that might be something that was of great concern, but it was actually a pretty steady source of revenue. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of things that could be looked at that are broad-based. I interrupted you.
That's okay. No, I'm just kind of curious if, you know, does the governor need to take some actions now to reduce spending in order to fill that 162 hole? But in looking at the next session, and I actually was part of, I spent 2 hours with the National Tax Foundation folks when they were out here this past year doing this study now that they're putting together. And I mean, the quick and easy one is depreciation and changing the way we do property taxes in the state.
Yeah.
We're the only state that has depreciation, and we're the only state that really isn't market-based. And that, you know, the Las Vegas Chamber, I applaud them for putting together this.
Would you briefly explain exactly what that means? Because I'm not sure everybody...
We base property taxes on land value and home replacement value, but then every year that you own your home, you get 1.5% depreciation
up to
40 years. So my parents, who still live in the same home, they're paying about $3,000 a year. Our next door neighbor, whose home's 10 years old, they're paying about $7,000 a year. Mm. And yet we use the same services, we use the same roads, and if we had kids in the school system, we'd be using the same school systems. So there's no reason to have depreciation on a home. We're the only state in the nation that does that. So first and foremost, get rid of depreciation on the sale of the home. So you're not impacting the current homeowner. And when you buy the home, you know, this is what my taxes are going to be. So, that will be a tax increase. Sorry, Chuck Muth. But it'll be on when you buy the home, so you know what you're getting into when you go in and buy that home.
And speaking of reductions, you know, right after the Economic Forum met, the governor came right out and said, you know, going to have all of his state agency heads look at ways to reduce their expenditures. Mm-hmm. So you can't accuse the governor of not being on top of things. I think he's right on top of it and probably is meeting, as we speak here, on the budget.
Yeah, and as Mike Wilden pointed out in a show that's going to air later, that the Economic Forum is not allowed to include the sunset taxes.
Right. But even going on the assumption that those are going to be extended again as they were last session and prior session, you're still looking at roughly a an $800 million gap between what the agencies requested, what the economic forum is projecting, and how do you fill that gap? So again, the discussion comes back to there needs to be new revenue.
Okay, so Randy, how do you fill that gap?
Well, as long as it's fair and equitable. I mean, I'm not thrilled with the way we've exempted the first 250 or now 340 in payroll for the MBT tax, for the payroll tax. Let's have a flat across the board 1% on everybody for payroll tax. If we have to have a payroll tax, which I still philosophically think we shouldn't be taxing our biggest, really the biggest cost is labor and why we're taxing that labor, which is essentially an income tax. But at least let's make it fair. Let's put everybody at 1%, including the banking industry. Yeah. So that'll drop down. They're at 2%. Bring everybody paying 1% across the board. And then I think reducing the sales tax and a sales tax on services, that's going to be tricky. And then broadening the entertainment tax. If you pay an entrance fee, you should pay that tax. That is disposable income. It's a minor tax on, but a minor tax on a $500 ticket for Burning Man can raise some revenue.
Exactly. Yeah, and I mean, the fact that there is exemptions like for Burning Man and for NASCAR seems insane.
Yeah.
Well, the entertainment tax, as an example, brings in $140 million a year. You broadened it a little bit. And I think there are some legitimate exemptions that could be still applied, but maybe not Burning Man, maybe not NASCAR.
Daisy Carnival.
Whatever, things like, I don't know.
All right. But I'm going to say you got to exempt golf greens. That's fees.
We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers. Let me hand you a putter. Yeah. We'll be right back.
Thank you, Jim Walters.
Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield wants to know, what's your health insurance IQ?
True or false? Anyone can sign up for health coverage any time of year.
True?
Sorry, most people can only sign up for health insurance once a year during the open enrollment period. Whether you're switching or signing up for the first time, you are required by law to have health coverage.
True.
Yep. Most people were required to have health coverage starting in 2014.
Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield can help protect your family's health with one easy call to enroll in health coverage and find out if you're eligible for financial help.
Did you know all their plans cover doctor visits, prescription drugs, hospital stays, and more?
Yes, with $0 preventive care to help keep me healthy.
So call now for a free quote. There's less time to enroll this year, so make sure your new coverage is in place before the deadline. Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield. Call us at 1-866-768-9306 for a free quote. That's 1-866-768-9306.
Mystic India. Experience brilliant dancers, renowned musicians. Mystic India coming to the El Dorado December 30th for 10 shows only. Call 786-5700 for tickets. Mystic India.
Hi, I'm Kurt Franke. As a personal injury attorney, I'm proud to have represented policemen, firemen, teachers, children, moms and dads. That's the true face of the injured plaintiff seeking justice. And while I hope you never need those services, if you do, I'd be proud to call you my client too.
On the next broadcast, the governor's chief of staff, Mike Wilden. We'll see you on the next broadcast.